On the 8th of December 2013, Iran's President Hassan Rouhani submitted the budget draft for the next year to Parliament, a draft that reflected the new government's stance on the economy. Hassan Rouhani has been Iran's president for a little more than 5 months. Back in June 2013, when presidential campaigning was going on, Iran's television network made it possible for candidates to offer their analysis of the country's current situation and make their case for fixing what needs fixing in each other's presence. And it was Hassan Rouhani who managed to win the people's votes with his staunch criticism of the previous administration's economic and foreign policies, and his promise to make his a government based on trust and wisdom, and one that will cultivate hope. He also vowed to turn the economy around, something he seems to have done in his first 5 months in office. The team he put together to make good on his economic policies, all seasoned economists and budget planners, has shown the nation that as well as talking the talk, Rouhani can also walk the walk. Members of Parliament have given the President's economic cabinet members the vote of confidence, even though the new administration must adhere to the economic policies of the previous one until March 2014, when Iran's fiscal year ends. Finally, after 3 months of hard work, the new administration's first economic plan was handed over to Parliament. Mohammad Bagher Nobakht, the president's advisor for supervision and strategic affairs, says to draw up the budget draft, Rouhani's team had to pore over the economic decisions made and implemented in government organizations over the last 2 years.
In order to propose a realistic budget bill, we studied the fulfillment of the 5th five-year plan in its first year, 2011. The result was a report of 3 volumes. We submitted the 3 volumes to the MPs. The 3 volumes that add up to about 3,000 pages are not just an update on previous reports. We in the administration began to research from the scratch a few months ago to submit the budget bill on time.
Iran's current economic situation and the Western sanctions leveled against the country, and moreover, President Rouhani's campaign promises, mean all eyes are on the budget draft submitted to Parliament. That's why, in this edition of Iran Today, we will be focusing on the budget and what's been going on since it was drawn up. This year, President Rouhani's team managed to submit the budget draft a day after the date set by Parliament. It's significant because this is the first time in 14 years the government has been able to do so. Submitting the budget late began during the presidency of Mohammad Khatami and reached its peak during Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's time in office. During his 8-year administration, the budget was invariably submitted 40 to 84 days late. In an interview with MP Mohammad Abdullahzadeh, he told us how detrimental such delays were to the running of the country.
A delay in submitting the budget bill would force the MPs to hurry in examining the bill and pass just part of the bill. It would have significant ramifications as well. You know, Parliament has to submit a report on the budget to the Supreme Audit Court. If the government doesn't submit the budget bill on time, Parliament will not be able to make the report easily. The result will be financial irregularities.
Many construction projects in very cold, remote areas were often delayed or postponed indefinitely because the budget was submitted too late. Some analysts say the delay was often deliberate.
The government wanted the budget bill to be passed with the least amendments by the parliament. So with deliberate delays in submitting the budget bill, the government aimed to pressure parliament to pass the bill without much debate. But now, since the budget bill has been submitted on time, Parliament has enough time to discuss and examine the bill, making amendments if necessary.
The budget for Iranian calendar year 1393 has been set at roughly $315 billion. That's an 8.4% increase from last year's. $78.4 billion of it will go to funding the government, which is $9 billion more than what the previous government submitted to Parliament. The rest of the money will go to government organizations, banks, and public institutions related to the government. When it comes to allocating money to ministries, the new administration has made a lot of changes. The budget slated for the education ministry has increased the most, and the country's defense ministry saw the most reduction in funds. In his speech, the day he submitted the budget draft to Parliament, President Hassan Rouhani said his goal was to battle inflation and increase the country's economic growth.
Indexes show that inflation is falling, and I hope that it will bolster up banking system and capital markets by channeling the wandering wealth in the country, which in turn can help the country's economy extricate inflation effectively.
He also said Iran's economy was suffering stagflation, among other things. To elaborate on this, we sat down with Hadi Hafshanas in our studios.
We are facing two big problems right now, a rising unemployment rate and a rising inflation. It's as if a patient is suffering from both high pressure and high fever. In this case, that we are grappling with both stagnation and inflation, or what is called stagflation, it is expected that the government adopts a contractionary fiscal policy by reducing its own expenditure. On the other hand, the government adopts an expansionary fiscal policy in production and infrastructure sectors. As you know, a budget increase in these sectors means an increase in employment and production in general. So it seems that the new government has designed a proper budget bill.
To help an economy in a slump, governments often decide to inject money into the system so people's businesses pick up and the economy thrives. They call this the expansionary fiscal policy. When inflation is the problem, governments try to save money until normalcy returns to the economy. That means using contractionary fiscal policies. But what does a government do when the economy is suffering both of these ailments? Economist and Parliament member Ali Mohammad Ahmadi explains.
We have to pay enough attention to both supply and demand at the same time. We must boost the demand side to have enough sources for production sector. On the other hand, we must also pay attention to the supply side to get rid of the current economy stagnation. So the budget mustn't be just expansionary, since it may add up to an increase in liquidity growth. On the other hand, the budget mustn't be just contractionary as well, because it may intensify the current stagnation.
Inflation in Iran has dropped 5.7% in comparison to previous months, reaching 37%. The government hopes to reduce it to 25% by the end of the fiscal year. It also hopes to reduce the -5.4% economic growth to -0.8%. To take the pressure off government employees and day laborers, their pay is to increase 18% next year. Considering the economy's current situation, the government has decided not to allocate funds to any new construction projects. Most of these projects that got the go-ahead during Ahmadinejad's government are very costly. According to this administration, finishing the projects left half done will take 8 to 10 years and will cost $160 billion.
Last year, we allocated more than $2 billion to production sector. But since the resources were not precisely allocated, we had to spend about $2 billion on current expenditure. Our proceeds have been about $2 billion, and we must have about $4 billion for infrastructure sector.
Our resources in the budget are limited. With limited budget, our performance will be limited as well. There are 2,906 incomplete projects in the country now. To complete them all, we need $160 billion. That's while the total state budget is $78 billion. When our resources are limited, our ability will be limited too. I think the government has made the right decision by picking up just those projects that can be completed in 2014, which are about 250.
The plan to divide up the funds allocated to construction projects that are more than 80% complete has had repercussions. Representatives from Kurdistan, Luristan and Khuzestan have decided to quit their posts to protest the depleted funds they've been promised. These are the more deprived parts of the country, suffering high unemployment rates. That said, the point of submitting the draft to the parliament is for representatives to make the necessary changes.
Unfortunately, since these projects are scattered through the country, many of my colleagues have decided that part of the infrastructure projects in their cities have not been considered in the budget bill.
Unfortunately, some do not consider the budget bill from a national point of view, to the detriment of budget planning in general. Now, the budget bill is not just a fiscal plan, but as a plan to run the country. We must consider two issues concerning the budget bill. First, the budget must be designed according to the upstream documents. In other words, we have long-term plans approved by the Supreme Leader. We have also policies proposed by the Supreme Leader on how to run the country. We also have the five-year plan. The current year corresponds to the fourth year of the fifth five-year plan.
Predominantly, the government's revenues come from the sale of oil, taxes, and customs. The new administration has strived to increase its share of taxes by 10% this year, from 35.8% to 46.2%. This is a significant step in the direction of weaning Iran off oil and its dependency on oil revenues. Tax evasion is a problem in Iran, and only government employees and laborers who have the most modest incomes have their tax deducted from their paycheck before they even get it.
If our system is equipped with database software common throughout the world, we can tax those with high income, instead of taxing the working class on their salaries. But currently, we don't know who they are. The plan needs a comprehensive tax system. We talked to many companies in France and other countries to benefit from the world's experience on that issue.
Tax revenues account for 40% of the budget. In other words, it constitutes less than half of the budget. And speaking from experience, we know that tax revenues are difficult to be obtained. 10% of tax revenues can't be obtained, and oil revenues are supposed to compensate for it. We have had some budgets which have been in practice based on oil revenues up to 70%. If a government is unable to reduce a budget deficit through oil revenues, it usually recourses to loans, bonds, selling part of its property and privatization.
The second stage in securing the government's income is selling oil. Every government since the revolution in 1979 has called for a reduction in the oil money going to funding the government, but none have been successful in doing so.
The government has no options but to do so in the first year. While attempts have been made to get rid of current economic inflation, the government has to count mostly on oil revenues in this budget bill.
The law states that the budget must be in harmony with Iran's 5-year development plans. They are part of the country's long-term 20-year economic plan. In his speech about the country's 5-year development plans, the leader of the Islamic Republic has called on the government to eliminate oil and gas revenues from its income and use those funds to invest.
It's difficult for us not to bank on oil revenues unless under pressure imposed by sanctions. But the plan to rely less on oil revenues must be executed in the long run. The government's aim is to reduce our dependence on oil revenues. As is to be expected, the government cannot do so in the first year.
Creating the National Development Fund is one way Iran has tried to prevent oil and gas revenues from being wasted and preserving some of Iran's oil wealth for future generations. The law states that in the first year after the National Development Fund was created, the government should have put 20% of its oil revenues in it, adding 3% to that each following year.
According to the budget planning law, every year 3% of oil revenues must be saved in the foreign exchange reserves. That is to say, next year that amount reaches 31%. In the last year of the 5-year plan, it will be 35%. On the other hand, the oil ministry takes around 14% of oil revenues to discover and sell oil. It seems that by the end of the year 2016, the government has to count on oil revenues just up to 50% in its budget bill. We hope that the other 50% of oil revenues will be spent on infrastructure projects.
The law obliges the government to use the National Development Fund to give loans to the private, cooperative and public sectors. Unfortunately, it seems that hasn't been happening.
Unfortunately, we were unable to use more than 7 million of the reserves of this fund as loans. This accounts for about 10% of the reserves. It is not a considerable sum of money. We have to overcome these obstacles. Sanction relief can also make the situation a bit better.
We must use the money in short-term or lucrative investments. We must buy stocks of the world's big companies. The value of stocks is in reverse proportion to the price of oil. When the price of oil comes down, the value of stocks goes up. On the flip side, when the value of stocks falls, the price of oil rises. This way, we can take full advantage of our resources.
In the budget for Iranian year 1393, as far as the figures are concerned, Iran's dependency on oil has gone up. But considering the problems Iran has exporting its oil because of illegal Western sanctions, the government has estimated its sales will be a modest 1.4 million barrels daily, at $100 a barrel, a 5% increase from last year. That said, concern regarding upcoming talks between the P5 plus one and Iran has left analysts pessimistic about those figures.
If the government has analyzed the trend, $100 is appropriate. But Iran's economic conditions and sanction pressures and previous administration's performance showed that though we may have predicted the price of oil correctly, it's a little unlikely to receive that sum of money through oil revenues.
But there are others who disagree.
Concerning the somehow successful nuclear negotiations and the oil ministry prediction, The price of oil will be an amount between $100 and $103 for both the OPEC and North Sea oil. The government assumption on the price of oil in the 2014 budget is $100. Some believe that $100 is an optimistic price of oil that we'd better assume $95 for it. Others like me believe that since the price of Brent oil has been predicted $103, $95 is an underestimated price, so we'd better assume the price $100.
Another factor that affects oil revenues is the value of the dollar in Iran. In the fifth five-year development plan, it stipulates that exchange rates should be kept stable with effective management. But the truth of the matter is that in Iran there are two exchange rates, the rates the government sets and the rates the market determines. The government has decided to set the exchange rate for the dollar at 26,000 riyals next year. This figure is close to the market price of 29,500 riyals.
Thanks to the recent political events, Iran's central bank will have a much easier access to cash more than before. In addition, our financial resources in 2015 will be much more than that in 2014.
In its budget draft, the government has taken it upon itself to unify the government and market exchange rates of the dollar. We asked the experts why the current system is so detrimental and the reason why a unified exchange rate is so important.
Having a single unified dollar rate can prevent many problems caused by multiple dollar rates. But to achieve this goal, I think the government must adopt right economic policies. That's the only way to have a single dollar rate. We cannot have a single dollar rate just by ordering to have it.
In Iran, managing exchange rates and maintaining the value of the national currency is the central bank's responsibility. This bank, which is affiliated with the government, can do this to a certain extent by controlling how much currency is in the market. Valiullah Saif, the head of Iran's central bank, says a unified currency is vital. One of the things this year's budget does not contain is any articles related to the subsidy reform plan. This plan is part of a bigger one called the Economic Reform Plan, ratified during Ahmadinejad's government. Its main goal was to eliminate government subsidies for fuel and food, and instead distribute that money fairly among the people, depending on their overall wealth and income. And some of the money was to go to industries. But Ahmadinejad's government failed to gather accurate information on people's income and so resorted to distributing it equally among the people in the form of cash handouts.
If we look at the statistics released by the central bank, the Iranian people have spent about 8 billion of healthcare services in 2011. That's why, during the last 3 years, Iranian people have received about 49 billion cash handouts. It means that instead of giving people cash handouts for 3 years, we could provide them free healthcare services for 6 years.
Someone who has several cars uses more subsidized petrol. He gets even cash handouts. So the rich get more subsidies than the poor. In the second phase of subsidy reforms, the government is going to increase the price of energy carriers. But it seems that the state subsidies will not be divided between all people equally.
The government has promised to submit another draft regarding subsidy reform to Parliament by the end of the current Iranian year. Rouhani's administration hopes to gather the necessary information to eliminate the wealthy bracket from those receiving subsidies, and in the near future, two goods will be distributed among the people.
The only way left is to categorize people. For example, 30% of people must not receive any subsidies. And for example, use university lecturers' salaries as a criterion. Everyone who earns more money must not receive subsidies. The remaining 70% of people must receive the subsidy, not in cash, but in the form of food baskets.
Since the cost of living is high, I think the government must give people necessary goods instead of cash handouts.
I think that it's more convenient for people to get cash handouts. Otherwise, they have to stand in long queues for receiving goods.
For me, the government should stop giving cash handouts and start helping production sector.
I think giving subsidies in the form of goods is better than cash handouts, provided that goods are of high quality.
In my opinion, cash handouts are better because some people are needless of certain goods.
Some people use cash handouts to spend it on their major expenditures.
Iran's parliament has formed a joint committee chaired by all the members of the budget committee and two members of each other committee. They are now going over the budget bill submitted by the government. After they've approved the outline, it will be presented to the floor in parliament for all the members to vote on the specifics. It remains to be seen whether this government's new approach will sit well with the Iranian people and really make a difference.